it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back. Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. This morning you've got Vossi and Matt Russell. I'm here all week while Brandy enjoys Japan. He's sipping sake, he's scoffing sushi, and the Signet Boost power bank, it's going to keep your phone, your tablet, your earbuds powered 24/7. And when you get your earbuds powered, you can listen to the Vossi and Brandy podcast on Apple and Spotify. First hour, Arpi Korosau, big portion dedicated to that ruling. Lachie Ilias, where does his future lie? It's D-Day at South Sydney, isn't it? What happens to coach Dimitriou? The Roosters, they're farewelled Luke Keary. They have cap space to burn. So, as always, Vossi, plenty of rugby league topics this morning.
Yes, and of all mornings, my headsets are broken. The padded bit has come off, and this is just causing enormous distress for me trying to fix them. But anyway, we'll see how we fly. Just some other sporting news this morning. If you've been following the NBA playoffs, I mean, they go on forever, I know, but it is exciting. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, they won a playoff series for the first time in 20 years after that win over the Phoenix Suns yesterday, 122-116, a sweep, 4-0, Western Conference first round win. Anthony Edwards top scored with 40 points, 31 in the second half. So Minnesota Timberwolves, if you've been a fan of them, you will know the trot has been lean. And after two decades, they win a playoff series for the first time. Also on the tennis front, because we're getting close now, we're getting into major season. Rafa Nadal, you know, you got to think this is it, don't you? This is it. This is it. It's the last hurrah. But he's into the last 16 of the Madrid Open. And I'm telling you, I'm hopping on the Rafa bus to win the French Open. Okay, I'm gonna hop on the bus. No more injuries. 37 years of age. Bang.
I'll tell you where this is definitely it for Rafa. The hairline. It's time to just get rid of it, right?
The hairline. What, you say bald, go Agassi style?
Yeah.
Oh, was Agassi a rug through the career? The long hair was a rug, wasn't it?
For part of it. Yes. Yeah, right. Long hair to start, then it fell out, so I got the fake, then said, no, this is ridiculous, I'll go nude nut.
Yeah, very interesting. David Riccio coming up on the program. Lee Hadjipantelis, special guest on Tuesday. Going to talk a little bit about the Swans later in the program as well. Special guest coming on the program. Swans sitting up alongside GWS Giants, right on the heels of Geelong, which is exciting. How many buses can I be on? But I've already gone the early crow on an All-Sydney Grand Final. Just went, you know, I did that, I don't know how many weeks ago. Did I do that about 6-7 weeks ago? The crow is the... Did we make that official when I said it'll be an All-Sydney Grand Final?
It's official now.
Official now with the
so
crow.
So this is Grand Final preview. Sound yeah, the crows. There,
it is.
There they
that's
are.
It. There it is. There's the are. Stamp. There's the stamp. You know, go, you know, get a big one up here. Geelong. It's going to be an All-Sydney Grand Final.
It sounds more like a seagull than a crow to me, but anyway. You go the early crow, grand final preview this weekend, and we'll preview the grand final preview, Swans v Giants, with Will Hayward.
Exactly. David Riccio coming up. Let's go to the man, the wannabe nudist.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
In your history covering rugby league, when there is a board meeting out of hours, like, and not the late night one, the morning kind, what's happened the bulk of times? Someone loses their job, don't they?
Yeah. Look, it's, Vossi, it's a difficult one because, look, at the end of the day, they need to emerge from the board meeting with an outcome. Whether it's either they're backing JD or they're sacking JD, there has to be an outcome. The conjecture can no longer go on. So that has to be the deliverance as far as what does the board want to achieve when they do emerge. My concern is that what's changing at South Sydney immediately with a change of coach? And I would think that only by changing JD is it a perception change from South Sydney in the interim. Ben Hornby has been JD's assistant for the last two to three seasons. So I don't see much changing there, again, only from a perception point of view. The performance of the footy team, I would argue, it's not going to differ too much with the elevation of Ben. I'm not saying Ben's a poor coach or anything in that regard. I just believe that the belief system, the structure, and only a change of voice would be the difference. Ben's had been an ally of JD. They're as thick as thieves. So I don't see what changes there. Obviously, David Ferner was brought on 2 weeks ago to focus on the club's defensive attributes. With the greatest respect of Dave Ferner, I don't see how Dave stepping into the role changes it anything either, just due to the fact that he's had little to do with the playing group. And so then when you start with David Ferner, who has had little to do with the playing group, you're almost starting again halfway through a footy season. So JD might... The alternative is that Demetrio sees the rest of the season out. South Sydney informed him today that you can see the season out, but we're going to move on in next year. That's one of the options. So, look, I don't know what the outcome will be, guys, but what has to happen, there has to be an outcome.
Mm.
On where the club is going next. The conjecture's been way too much. The pressure on Demetrio every single week and he fronting up saying, I've been told nothing. It's got to stop.
So from a South Sydney fans' perspective, Dave, board meets 8 o'clock. What are they then going to call a snap media conference in your mind for mid-morning or early afternoon? What unfolds post this board meeting this morning?
Look, historically, it can happen two ways, Matty. A press release can be pushed out to all the major media outlets as far as what the decision the South Sydney board have made. And it rests with the press release that, as I said, i.e. we're sticking with JD or we're moving on. Look, alternatively, Rabbitoh CEO Blake Solly, he's one that has always fronted up in a crisis or a major situation at the footy club. And I dare say, if there's a major decision made, he would front up at some point today to explain that decision and where the club's going forward. You can't have one of the biggest clubs in Sydney hiding behind a press release on such a major decision. So I would think Blake steps forward.
And just so people understand governance, and this is where there's been some criticism of the Tigers, that interim chairman appoints CEO long-term Shane Richardson, gets 4 years. Where's the actual governance there? Blake Solly, as CEO of South, has nothing to do, David, with the decision whether Jason Demetrio stays or goes. It gets handed. That's why you have boards, isn't it? Your chairman and the board, that will be the discussion. He may pass on or may relay information from further down the line, but in the actual decision-making process, he would have no input?
No input. No input whatsoever as far as who the next coach would be or anything in that regard. He merely provides information, fact and detail from the ground, from within the footy club, its workings, feedback from players, high-performance staff, coaching staff, of which he can pass on to the board, and it's the South Sydney board that would ultimately make the decision. You're right, Blake Solly is the chief executive, but it's from a club point of view, and he reports back to the board.
Well, Dave, forget breaking news. This morning, Andrew Voss had a breaking thought that Adrian Lamb would return from England to be involved with South Sydney going forward. React to that for me.
I don't think it's a bad shout at all, Vossy. And you know, you make the lineage through to Lewis Dodd and the anticipation that South Sydney will announce his signing for next season. And look, there's no denying any time that I've reached out to Adrian or spoken to his management team about coaching in the NRL. There's a genuine anticipation there. Ambition there. He wants to be an NRL coach. So I don't think it's the worst shout at all, Vossie. Could be onto something, mate.
Okay, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Every dog has its day, David. Every dog. No, no, but I'm, I'm not wishing it to happen. Can I just put that on the record? I'm certainly, and I'm not even death riding Jason Demetri. I'm just calling what I see and what I've experienced over the years. But all I know is every chat I've ever had with Adrian Lamb on this program or heard him quoted elsewhere, he wants to be an NRL coach somewhere down the track. Mark Ellison's over there. Yeah, I'm just joining dots. Mark Ellison's over there to get a signature on a player who's already agreed to terms. He's not just going for that one signature. He's not going over there for an autograph. He'll be wheeling and dealing while he's there with others, and the coaching position might be vacant. Why would you not talk to the potential candidates? I think he's number one. I really do.
Yeah. Well, Dave, when it comes to the club across the Anzac Parade, Luke Keary yesterday decided to call it quits. At the end of this season, at one stage there, we thought it was going to be immediate because of head knocks, but he released a 7-minute sort of thank you to everybody through the club website yesterday and didn't detail the exact thinking behind his decision to call it quits at the end of this season. There are a number of questions here. Why now? What does it do to the salary cap space at the Roosters? Do they look outside Sam Walker, Sandon Smith, Connor Watson? So what happens in this Luke Keary realm?
Yeah, Matty, look, I'm with you. The timing was interesting, given the fact that Luke had recently re-signed for another season through until the end of 2025, and all roads were headed that way. I can tell you, at the back end of last year, talking to Luke about what's he going to do? Because he was off contract at the end of this season, and he eventually pushed out for another 12 months. And talking to him back then, he was in two minds back then on whether he wanted to go around again for 2025, and ultimately talking about I wonder how long I can delay my decision for. So I just wonder whether there's a few contributing factors here. Reaching this point in the season, the grind of the season, guys, might be hitting Luke Keary. But at the same time, there's no denying the repeated head knocks that Luke has suffered through the back end of his career would be a contributing factor. And he'll eventually admit that that was part of the reason. Not the reason, part of the reason. And it came as a surprise, no doubt, due to the fact that he had recently extended with the footy club. And now it really opens the salary cap up for the Sydney Roosters. And I think it, the news of a $4 million war chest sends a shiver down the spine of every recruitment manager, rival recruitment manager in the game, because the Roosters are going to be the big fish in town and the big players on the open market. And we all know when the Roosters chase, they rarely miss. And so when you're competing against the Roosters, Vossie, it's going to be very difficult for rival clubs.
Just on, we said, I mean, we're just in talking in broad terms last week, when Dale Finucane made his announcement and we weren't expecting that, and we sort of just said in conversation, well, I wonder what James Tedesco was thinking. We sort of took our eye off the ball. Probably could have said, well, gee, I wonder what Luke Keary's thinking. When Dale Finucane says, I've had enough, 7 head knocks, that's it, I'm out. Yeah. You'd have to think there'd be some behind closed doors, and I'm not talking publicly or even if it's just when their head hits the pillow that night, going through the head thinking, well, I wonder whether I should do the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you could not. Like, I know James Tedesco says, I've never had side effects to any concussion, and he's had 10. He's had 10. Yeah. And I'm not quite sure of the Luke Keary number. You might know better, Dave, an exact number of failed HIAs, but there's been some bad ones for Luke Keary.
Yeah.
That it'd just be human nature, wouldn't it, to at least think about your future in those terms.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right. I think the Dale Finucane style of announcement, where he was, we haven't had a player that has been so candid and open about the length and breadth that he went to as far as seeking medical advice to determine if this is it. Is this my career over? And to that point, can I keep playing? And when Dale was explaining that, I've got no doubt other players were listening. Luke Keary suffers from significant migraines, guys. And whether that's a
a spin-off from the repeated head knocks, I don't know. But I do know he suffers from serious migraines. And it becomes arduous, guys. Like, he's had an incredible career. Incredible. One of the most courageous playmakers for his size that I've seen play the game. And I just can't get away from the fact that we're at this point of the year. I feel as though he's realised that the season's getting more arduous as his little legs tire every year, and the complicating factor of repeated head knocks is a major factor in the decision.
You're right, Dave. As we talk about all these issues, we've got to celebrate a career. 12 seasons, 212 games and counting. He's 180 centimetres, 85 kgs in the modern game, spotting most other players 20 kgs plus, yet he plays in three grand finals and wins them all. So well done, Luke Keary. You mentioned the war chest that will strike fear into rival clubs. Andrew from Emu Plains has been working the calculator. He says if the Roosters have a reported $4.2 million war chest after six players leave, can you explain how the other 24 only get $7 million or under $300,000 per player? There's something to do some homework on this week. But if we leave Luke Keary there and go to Manly's Daily Cherry Evans fronting the judiciary tonight, trying to beat a dangerous throw charge or have it downgraded from grade 2 to grade 1, it's a big difference. He cops a financial penalty if successful with the downgrade. If he fails tonight, he'll miss games against Canberra, the Dolphins and Brisbane at Magic Round. Now, there is no such thing as a good bloke downgrade, Dave, but he's never been suspended in his 313 NRL games.
Mm. Yep.
Will he get the downgrade?
He'll get the good bloke downgrade, guys. He'll get it. And it's for that basis alone. When you factor in the numbers, and how many games he's played, how many minutes he's spent on a rugby league field in the NRL, to go without a single suspension, he will get this downgrade.
Mm. What a crap system, Dave. What a crap system, right? Just line up Tane Milne to Daly Cherry. First of all, the offences side by side, what one gets and what the other, and it's ended up the same. The Tane Milne is basically, for want of a word, rewarded for an early plea when he's blatantly guilty. Blatantly guilty. You know, he doesn't now face the three matches. He only gets the two. So he would have fired in his plea in a heartbeat. There's nothing to defend. So he gets rewarded. Daly Cherry Evans thinks he's got a case, but he has to take a gamble to argue his case in a democratic, you know, system. He will be penalised if he fails in arguing his case. How does that? How can that be fair? How's that fair? They're not criminals. They're footy players.
No, it's not.
That's not right.
You're right. No, it's right, and that's why I'm so confident he'll get off, because it does. It flies in the face of the system. What the changes you could make? I'm not too sure. You're going to start to take me down to the should we get rid of the kickoff controversy? but honestly, that's why he'll get off today, because that is the underlying reason here. When you put a Tane Milne next to a Daly Cherry Evans, there's absolutely no comparison that you can make as far as the behavioural standard of on the field is polar opposites.
Well, there should be some charges and some incidents where it should come with a little caveat. No, there's no early plea discount. You know, this incident is worth four matches and you're not getting it reduced to three if you enter early plea because you are guilty. You punched him in the head or you tripped him, you kicked him. There should be no early plea for blatant offences. No discount, an early plea.
Agree.
Of course, we're talking football. David, so are you in stakeout mode position at the moment? Are you outside South or not?
I am not at the moment. I am not. My colleagues will be. However, it will be broken and revealed exclusively, no doubt, on the Daily Telegraph website as soon as it drops out of that South Sydney board meeting.
Well, Dave Riccio, we've forecast a big day of rugby league news. You will be all over it, my friend. Thank you for your input today. We'll read your great work in the Daily Telegraph. Dave Riccio on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Come on, let's stick together.
Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, 1170 SEN. We're here thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. Give us a call on the Great Southern Bank open line, 1300 01 1170. Live happily, clever after with Great Southern Bank, Vossie.
No, you're in the sin bin, though.
What have I done now?
Well, and it's been pointed out. Morning, Maddie and Vossie, extremely upset. You missed the Ricky O go. Well, that was yes, you, Matt.
I did. I cut him off.
You cut him off before we get the rubber stamping of our day.
Yeah.
We are now, it's like
rookie
it's
era.
Like Hendo finished the news and he didn't get to say the way it is. Like, if you cut him off, there's trouble. So I can't believe that you.
Sorry, nudist. Did that. Sorry, nudist.
Chris over in New Zealand, he's been listening to the show in the ad breaks. That's interesting.
Yes.
He's apparently getting a little pirate feed to the program. That's interesting.
Microphone's always on, Andrew. Microphone's always on.
Morning, guys. Just in relation to the apparent Roosters war chest, the cupboard is fairly bare for next year in regards high-quality players. So unless they entice contracts to be broken, it will be 2026 before they will get a big fish. That's from Ron. Well, we know how this works. No, they're not going to, inverted commas, entice anyone out of their contract. Someone, somewhere, something's going to happen, and things happen to fall in place. Players get homesick, don't they? You know?
Well,
imagine like a Cowboys fullback saying, I wanted to move back to New South Wales, be closer to family. Like, something like that. That can happen.
Here's one from 032. Cogger, that's Jack Cogger, is only at the Knights for one season. Next move, a Rooster? Well, let's see. DCE, he's off to the judiciary tonight seeking a downgrade for that dangerous throw charge, hoping to pick up only a financial penalty, not the three-game suspension he's looking at otherwise. And Mickey on the text line, DCE, how is there such a thing as a good bloke downgrade? He clearly lifted the player up and placed him on his neck, which could have done a lot more damage. Rules are rules. You can't be soft on rules, especially in dangerous situations and tackles like DCE's. I've looked at the tackle many, many times.
Yeah.
I don't blame DCE for it going wrong. It's not your typical dangerous throw, Vossie. And that's why I feel that tonight he's a big chance to be successful. I'm only joking about the good bloke downgrade. Of course, there's no such thing. But 3-1-3 games, charged only once before this offence. He has been a clean skin.
And Moz of Golden Beach goes really strong on Tane Milne. He says, Vossie, 100% correct on Tane Milne. Only getting 2 weeks. It's an absolute joke. As a rusted-on Rabbitoh supporter, I thought and was hoping he would get at least 12 weeks. Wow, gone to that extreme. But Moz, you are not alone as South Sydney fans that have got in touch with this program that were disgusted by Tane Milne and have no way supported two matches being the penalty. Again, I don't believe there's anyone in the game, not a player playing the game or a fan, who believes 2 weeks is enough. No one. No one would come out and say that's an appropriate penalty for the charge. Have you say on that one? 1300 01 1170. You can text 0457 736 736. Powered by Kubota, best lawnmowers, tractors, Land Pride attachments, and of course the best sound systems, Sonos. It will just send you into another world.
Come on, let's stick together.
Thank you, Vanessa. News done and dusted for another half hour. Can't believe we're halfway through the show today. We're actually synchronised watches. What is it now? 26 minutes until the board meeting starts. What was the temperature at Heffron Park? You said, Matty, earlier today you did the weather forecast.
I thought it was going to be 40 degrees.
40.
And stifling inside.
Stifling.
Actually, 21, Andrew. Very pleasant, but cloudy. Might sum up the mood.
Have you
there.
Been to the South Sydney Centre of Excellence
before? I haven't
before?
Yet. No, I've driven past it. Very impressive.
It's a community centre from the outside, but then you get inside the walls that is the player and official access only. And you go through, you know, all the rooms are named after South Sydney greats, and there's so many of them. So are they going into the Clive Churchill boardroom, the Bob McCarthy lunchroom? Are they going into the John Sattler, you know, meeting room? Which room are they going to be discussing this? I couldn't tell you. But it's named after one of the greats. And the greats of the club, alive and past, will all be watching today to see what the next move is.
I feel like I've been there because Damien Cook had that great guided tour on The Fan recently, which was fantastic to watch. Well done, Cookie. Now, Yeah, there's a lot happening today on the text line, on the open line. We've got heaps coming up, Vossi. Lee Hadjimpantelis, I'm looking forward to the chat with him. We're going to talk Swans and Giants. Nick Ashman with all the markets. But, yeah, I'm being scolded for denying Dave Riccio the chance to go well.
He should.
311 says, today's equilibrium completely off kilter now. There you go.
This one, let's be real, the Roosters are the big fish even when they're not the big fish. Hashtag Shombero, Rob in Blacktown. Hi VM, sorry, everyone keeps talking about how good the Bunnies roster is, but for me it's overrated, getting old and needs an overhaul. They've held on to players for too long and they don't have depth. Look at what the Bulldogs did during the off-season, and it's something the Bunnies need to do. Thank you for the text. Do we have an open line caller? I saw a Dave flash up on the open line. No, we'll get back to that in a moment. Let's go to the sports update for Glow Fire Pits. We're getting into the colder weather, and I think Glow Fire Pits, what you need, rekindle the spark with Glow Fire Pits. What's your mail, Matty? You were reading the Ben Horn article from the Daily Telegraph during the last news break. You weren't listening to Vanessa. You're reading Ben Horn's article. Is it all about Steve Smith and also Jake Fraser-McGurk missing out on the World Cup squad?
The headline from Ben Horn and Daniel Cherney, smudged out. Smith among huge T20 snubs as Fraser-McGurk made to wait as well. So this week, Australia will name the 15-person squad for the T20 World Cup starting June 2. West Indies and the US with hosting rights. And when we spoke to Heels yesterday, he was struggling to get 17 blokes into his 15-man squad. Well, it seems like selectors are as well. Stephen Smith, nicknamed Smudge, smudged out, the headline.
So you're not taking on board the form of IPL. The selectors are looking past that because...
Otherwise, Fraser-McGurk's there, right? What did he get?
100%.
84 off 27 deliveries yesterday were the numbers. And he's been phenomenal over there. Although he had a failure last night. Dismissed by Mitchell Starc, who picked up one for 43. Good figures for Mitch compared to what he has been able to muster over there.
Now, another Aussie heading to the NFL, Thomas Yasmin, has signed a 3-year deal with the Denver Broncos. The former Scots College rugby star was offered a contract by the Sea Eagles way back in 2017. His dimensions, physical dimensions, 198 centimetres tall, 114 Ks, played at the University of Utah, scoring 6 touchdowns in 2022, ranked in the top 20 tight ends heading into the 2023 season, but missed most of the season due to a shoulder injury. So Thomas Yasmin, yet another bus that we need to get on.
Now, Jason Gillespie, back to cricket. He's going to coach Pakistan. He's been announced as Pakistan's test coach, which leads me into a story regarding Jeff Lawson, who coached Pakistan. And one of Henry's great stories was arriving in Pakistan, and the official said, well, over here you'll need to arm yourself. And they took him into a room where every single weapon known to mankind was presented, like, take your pick, Henry. And Jeff said, look, I'm not really raised that way, I'll leave it. And they wheeled out a mini cannon and said, would you like to park this at your house?
What?
One of Jeff Lawson's great stories is around coaching Pakistan cricket, and Jason Gillespie is entering that arena now as well. Arm yourself, Dizzy. Arm yourself.
Waratah CEO Paul Dawn says the decision on the future of Darren Coleman won't be made until after the Super Rugby season, sitting second last on the ladder. 5 games left in the season, third and final year of his contract. That's neither here nor there, is it? That's not full support of the board stuff. That's just, what's the point of changing coach now? So those in the know say Darren Coleman can coach. You know, he's got ability, but the roster, you know, is anyone going to make a difference? Well, only time will tell. Michael Checker. I had a little text exchange with Michael the other week, was just chasing him up, was actually looking to interview him for The Fan. He was over in Paris. Oh, he was loving it. Man, he's got so many jobs. Seriously. Like, he speaks 5 languages. You know, if he's not in Argentina, he's in Japan. If he's not in Japan, he's in Paris. If he's not in Paris, he'll be in Australia. Michael Checker.
Did he tell you what he was doing in Paris, Andrew? Was he working or holiday?
Well, okay. Well, I will say this. He did say in the last text, maybe we could do it when I get back to Australia. And it was like May or June, a little later in the year. So he's going to be back.
Okay.
Did he mean I'm back to stay? Possibly.
Shout out to Hannah Green, Vossi, from Perth, winner of the JM Eagle LA Championship, her 5th LPGA Tour event victory, I believe. So, Hannah Green, well done. We'll follow her with interest in coming weeks, and hopefully she can back it up and string a few of those tournaments together.
And Dan just wants to buy into the cricket discussion. You mentioned the article in the Telegraph. Smudge is seriously not a T20 player. In my opinion, Warner should be also dropped for McGurk. Thank you for that. And also Western Sydney Eagle, who's always colourful on the text. He says, no GBD for you, Muscle, after cutting the nudist off at the stump. Minus six Dally M points for you. Yeah. So the both judges are taking 6 points off you. I think we've got time. That was all for Glow Fire Pits. Sport, we'll be talking a little later on in the program about more, but, you know, rekindle the spark, Glow Fire Pits, light it up and sit around and relax, enjoy. The bag is on the Great Southern Bank open line off the coast of WA. We'll get to him in a moment because of David. This is the call I wanted to get to. David has called in on the open line. What would you like to say, David?
Thank you, boys. Go well.
Oh, there you go. The world is good again.
There we go.
I apologise to all our loyal listeners. I did not realise how attached you were to go well, but now
champagne
we can get
comedy
on with the day.
Beautifully set up that. That was not a setup. That was just legitimate. I had no idea that was David Riccio on the open line. Now we go to the bag.
That's a second invoice.
Off the coast of WA. How you doing, bag?
Oh, going pretty good, boys. That was gold. But look, I guess it's just a bit of a general question, but about player management, player managers, and how much they analyse the clubs where players are going to, and how much advice they go. Now that's going to be different, and or is it just looking at the bottom line? Look, the No Limit boys look after Jack White, and who I'm a fan of, but he must be thinking, "What have you sold me into here? What's going on?"
Without any experience in this realm. The bag, look, I think it all comes into it, doesn't it, Vossi? It'd be club, coach, environment, cash. There'd be a number of factors that manager and player sit down to thrash out when deciding where they're going to go.
I'll give you one right now, a little hypothetical, bag. Jerome Luai. Do you think he might have just gone, "Hey, bro," to his manager, "sure this deal's locked up with the Tigers? There's sort of a... could be a spot at the Roosters coming up." I'm hypothetically just saying. Just a little call. He just had a chat. There's no way out, is there? And I said no. But you got to consider all things. And winning sure beats losing. Like going to a club that's under pressure, you know, from every angle, could get the spoon. It would hard to get excited. I know the bank balance might be good. Like you're going to the Tigers, if they're to win. What if the Tigers won a third wooden spoon? I mean, be a very sad farewell, leaving a potential four-time premier to go to a three-in-a-row wooden spooner, wouldn't it?
He might be motivated by the fact he can make the Roosters his own. He can lead them up the ladder. He can take them to the promised land. He might be all about, you know, self-challenge.
Do you realise the faux pas you just said?
No.
You just said he might be motivated by the fact he could take the Roosters, make the Roosters his own.
There you go.
Yeah, you did
say
that.
Oh, there you go. The Tigers. The Tigers.
Glad
you're listening, Andrew. Glad you're listening.
Yeah, we're just talking in very general, broad terms. We're just having a chat. Thank you, Bag, for the call. Powered by Kubota right here at breakfast and the greatest sound system in Sonos, and Nick Ashman from Sportsbet coming up. Come on,
let's get together. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Nick Ashman is here for a Sportsbet market update. Nick, what have you got for us? Let's start with NBA playoffs.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Three games today. Of course, the Celtics are the championship favourites. They'll be up first, taking on Miami Heat. And they're pretty sure priced here, the Celtics. $1.18 versus Miami Heat at $4.90. And the Heat, well, the last 14 times they've been underdogs in an NBA game, they've come out second best, and the market suggests that'll be the case again. After those two teams, Oklahoma City Thunder, they'll start favourites at $1.51 against the New Orleans Pelicans, who have lost their last three games on the trot. It's the opposite for the Thunder, though, guys. They've won the last eight, so at $1.51, they're your hard favourites. And then finally, it'll be the Lakers and the Nuggets, Los Angeles Lakers and Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are hard favourites there, even though they're coming off a loss. $1.37 to beat the Lakers at $3.10. And it's worth noting that the Nuggets have won their last seven home games against the Lakers. So that trend's expected to continue this afternoon, guys.
Busy, busy time in the NBA. Plenty of punting options. Now, racing in Victoria, you got some mail, Nick. What is it?
Well, look... It's the first day today of Australia's biggest country carnival, the Warrnambool Jumps Carnival. It goes today, tomorrow and Thursday. And the big race today is the Brierley Steeplechase. Now, I happen to be fortunate enough to be a part owner of the second favourite, Britannicus. He won the race last year. He's $6.50 second favourite. Unfortunately, we've got Stern Idol at $1.35 the hot pot, but the mail out of the Britannicus camp is he couldn't be going any better, and he's probably worth an each-way gamble, guys, $6.50 and $2.05. So we'll be giving him strength at around 2:20 this afternoon. But certainly the favourite there, Stern Idol, will be pretty hard to beat. You can get all your markets, though, racing, sports, whatever you want, by heading to your Sportsbet app.
Giving him strength. Love that. How often have you done that in your life when you're trying to, you know, think positive thoughts about something when you're down to your last 20? Nick, very good report, mate. Have a great day at Sportsbet.
Thanks, Bossy. You too, mate. Chat soon.
Yeah. Good on you, Nick Ashman. Now, Trivia Tuesday. You know how it's been very popular, very well received? Wally the Stats Man sent me a little text.
Oh, here we go.
Trivia Tuesday. All right, folks. We might give a prize. We might give a prize. Luke Keary played one game for New South Wales starting at 5/8. Who is the only other player to play one game for New South Wales also as a 5/8? And then Wally said, is that too easy? Do you think it's too easy?
No, I don't think it's too easy.
All right, so hear that again. Trivia. Luke Keary played one game for New South Wales. He started at 5/8. Who is the only other player to play one game for New South Wales, also as 5/8? That from Wally the Stats Man. You can fire in a little crack at that on the text line 0457 736 736. And Nick Ashman, he's a little spray for Nick. Everyone gets a spray on the text line. Vossi, Maddie, love this time of the morning. Nick Ashman on equals me winning as I put a line through whatever he tips. Nick, go well. Go well. This is Breakfast with Vossi and Maddie and Maddie Russell.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Absolutely. Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. As you ride your horse over there in the distance, Andrew, I can tell you we're here thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. Follow us on X at Vossi Brandy SEN. Now, before the break, you asked a trivia question. Remind listeners what that question was, Andrew.
Well, Luke Keary played just the one game for New South Wales, one start at 5/8. Who was the other player in the history of Origin for New South Wales that played only one game, and that was at 5/8?
Lots of text guesses. Hodgkinson, Josh Reynolds, Sean Rudder, Jared Mullen, Matt Moylan, Phil Blake, Cliff Lyons or Sean Timmons, Chris Mortimer, Craig Polamounta, Cody Walker. We've had Jared Mullen already. Terry Lamb here. Anthony Mundine. Was it Phil Blake? Steve Martin? It just keeps going. Jerome Luai. What's the actual answer? Craig Wing, Matty Johns. They're all the guesses that are wrong. Who's right?
I thought Dougie Piemont's guess was pretty good, wasn't it? Alan Thompson, because he went back sneakily to game one, 1980, or the first game of Origin. Yeah. He was the 5/8, but he did play other games. So, no, the answer is...
Drum roll.
Initials TC. Terry Campese. Terry Campese, one Origin for New South Wales, one start at 5/8. Now, that's the answer to the trivia. We've got a board meeting about to start at South Sydney. I believe this is the song that's being played as they walk in. Back with more in a moment. Russell, not our best? No. Agreed.